Thank you, Papa, for the privilege of your presence. Thank you. Lord, we delight to be here. And Papa, we delight in the fact that you too are here. Thank you for that. I want to start this morning with a very brief recap of what we've been looking at so far. We really have been looking at the fact that God is our Papa. It's a truth that is an amazing truth, and one that's been shielded from a lot of people. Because if we start to realize who we are in God's eyes, it changes everything about how we live. Our identity that we walk in is so important. And I want to carry on with that this morning because I believe that Papa wants to encourage us to live out of that identity and out of that to reveal who he is. I remember when Ray and I were, we were just newly married. We were driving along in the streets of Dunedin and we saw this little boy. He would have been about 3, 4 at the most. And he was lying on the footpath on his back under his trike. And we slowed down. It's like, goodness me, has the little kid fallen off? But as we slowed down and looked, we could see that he was tinkering with his bike. It was not hard to guess what he had seen his father doing. He was simply imitating what he had seen with his dad, probably under his car. And we're going to speak more about that this morning, that we really are not only God's kids, but we are to imitate our father. We're to be just like him. So let's start with Romans 8, verse 15 and 16. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. We're not meant to be living under fear and bondage. Sadly, there's a lot of believers who are living by rules, living a legalistic lifestyle, hoping that by doing so, that they can please Papa. But it says here about that is a spirit of bondage again to fear. If you fear somebody, you will not be close to them. Some of you I know will have had fathers that you feared. And if I asked you if you had a close relationship with your father, you'd probably say no. Papa wants a close relationship with him. He is Almighty God. He is perfect. He is holy. He is glorious. And yet he says that he wants to be known as Abba, Father. Abba is the word that a young child uses. It's the equivalent of Daddy, Papa. It is not the title that a grown-up, sophisticated person would use or a slave would use. This is a kid running in and saying, Papa, Daddy. God invites us into that level of relationship with Himself. And because we are not likely to live at that level left to ourselves, He sends the Holy Spirit into our heart. And Galatians 4 says the Holy Spirit cries out within us, Abba, Father. But here it tells us that the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Again, a lot of Christians think that the job of the Holy Spirit on the inside is to tell us when we're doing wrong. He'll convict us of sin. That's what He's there for. Jesus called Him a comforter. I don't know about you, but I don't find it very comforting when somebody's always telling me what I'm doing wrong. By your smiles, I can see that you're just the same. The Holy Spirit is a comforter. John 16:8-9 says, And He, that's the Holy Spirit, when He has come, He will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in Me. The Holy Spirit does convict of sin, but He's convicting the unsaved of the sin of unbelief. And we have messed that up, and we have thought that the Holy Spirit is on the inside. It's a schoolmaster saying, you didn't do that well enough. You only got 7 out of 10 that time. I want 10 out of 10 out of you. Next time, do it better. No, the Holy Spirit is on the inside saying, you're God's kid. Don't forget who you are. And when we do something wrong, we miss the plot. He says, you're God's kid. You're loved. You're accepted. You're wanted. God doesn't throw out His kids. So as we come back to Romans 8 again, the Holy Spirit bears witness with us that we are children of God. Why? Because God wants us to know and live from our identity. It is so important. Why is it important to know our identity? Because we will live consistent with who we believe we are. We will live consistent with who we believe we are. If you believe that you are a sinner, as Chris Valentin says, you will sin by faith. If you believe that you are unworthy and that you're just a worm that God sort of picked up and said, oh, I suppose so, guess I'll keep it. You'll live life like you have no worth. But if you know that you are God's kid, that you are loved by Papa God, when the devil tries to tell you a lie, you're going to look at him and say, that's a lie, because I know who I am. Chris Valentin wrote an excellent book, and if you haven't read it, I encourage you to do so. It is called The Supernatural Ways of Royalty. And it's all about how we need to know who we are, because as we know who we are, how we live will change. time's sake, I'm going to push on. We will live consistent with who we believe we are. One of the pictures that the Lord gave me was the fact that we don't actually see ourselves. I want you to look at yourself, not your neighbour. Look at you. Now, how much of you can you see? Not much. You can see your hands, you can see your feet, you can see your legs, you can see your butt. I've got an engineer here. He sees 40%. Go, John. I don't know that I could put a figure on it, but I know that it's not much. How do we know what we look like? We look in a mirror. Who's been to a fairground where they've got mirrors that are misshapen and you look and you either got really long legs and a small head and or you're miles wide and your arms are... They're fun looking in, right? But what about if you grow up and you are looking in a broken mirror? And sadly, many people have done that. See, let me encourage you. What happens when you look in a broken mirror? You'll see a broken image. And there's many people in the body of Christ that they have grown up thinking they're worthless, thinking they're no good, thinking they have no value. Why? Because they looked in a broken mirror. Friends, God wants to change the mirror for us. In fact, let me encourage you with this. If you're dealing with somebody and they keep on telling you that you're not good enough, that you're not this and you're not that, maybe you need to take a glance in another mirror. Because when you're dealing with a broken person, they will always reveal a broken image. And you need to know on the inside who you are. Otherwise, you'll believe that image of brokenness. Thank you, Papa. So let's start by looking in the mirror of God's Word and let it give us a picture of ourselves. Ephesians 1, 5 and 6 says, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he has made us accepted in the Beloved. For some of us, we need to look in that mirror every day. This is one of my favorite scriptures. This is one I keep on saying. Why? Because I need to look in that mirror. Why? Because like many of us, I grew up with an image that said I was not good enough, that I did not fit in, that I did not belong. But as you start to look into that image of the Word and you start to say, that's who I am. And I love what it says in the Greek, that accepted means graced. We are graced in the Beloved. That means we are favored. This is where Joseph Prince, if you're familiar with his thing that he quotes, where he says, we are highly favored, we are greatly blessed, and we are deeply loved. Those are the words that come out of being accepted. We are graced in the beloved. And I love the fact that it's in the beloved. That means I can't lose it. My acceptance isn't in me. My acceptance isn't in how well I perform. My acceptance is in Jesus. Jesus' performance is perfect. See, friends, when we mess up, we don't lose our acceptance. Because we didn't gain it in the first place. So we can't lose it. Yeah, that was a great place to say amen. Now, I want to take this and I want to build on this this morning. This is our core identity, that we are accepted in the beloved. Beloved means loved of God. It's a title that belongs to Jesus, and it's a title that belongs to us. And you'll start to find, as you pick up that word and you're reading through your Bible, that you'll find in a lot of the epistles that it talks about us as the beloved. You are loved by God. Make sure you have that foundation sure. Know who you are. I often find myself when I'm thinking something I shouldn't think, or I'm getting angry or upset, I often say to myself, that's not who you are. Because there's power when we know who we are. Because who we are determines how we live. And I know that I'm going to come back to that statement again and again this morning. Because I know that Papa wants us to lay hold of that truth, that once we know who we are, it will change how we live. But let's take this a step further. Let's start by looking at it declared over Jesus. Luke 3, verse 22, and the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him. This is in Jesus' baptism. And a voice came from heaven which said, you are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased. Love the fact that the whole Godhead is involved here. You've got Papa talking, you've got the Holy Spirit coming upon Jesus, and you've got Jesus in the water of baptism. Let me encourage you, God does not get jealous of himself. If you are talking to Papa, Jesus doesn't say, why aren't you talking to me? When you talk to one of them, you're talking to all of them. A lot of us have been taught to talk to Jesus. But we're missing the reality of what it means to relate to Papa. Because there's a truth here in knowing that we are a child, we are a son, we are a daughter. That brings tremendous freedom. Notice the first thing that says, you are my beloved son. We are accepted in the beloved. It's the same word. But Papa adds a second part. In you, I am well pleased. And it's the second aspect that I want us to look at this morning. The fact of knowing that we are accepted in the beloved is our foundation. Build that secure. But there is also an aspect that I believe that Papa calls us into as sons and daughters, to know that we are well pleasing to him. See, Jesus went on to say in John 8:29, "And he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him." Don't you wish you could have that testimony? "I always do those things that please him." There are different levels of God's presence. God is everywhere. There is a presence here because we've all come together corporately. There is a presence that increases on our life. The more we walk with him and the closer we walk with him. And it's a presence, I believe, that God wants us to know what it is to carry that presence in even greater realms. You hear stories of different ones and the impact that they've had simply by walking into the room. I remember Heidi Baker talking about the fact that she went to a conference, got up in the morning and went down to the breakfast room, dishing up cereal. And two men at the table nearby start calling out, "How do we get saved? What do we do to get saved?" She was just dishing cereal. God wants us to carry a presence on our life. He wants us to know what it is to live as sons and to carry that presence into wherever it is that we walk. Whether it's into the supermarket, whether it's into your business, whether it's in your home. It's a presence that belongs to us. But I believe it's a presence that we have in greater measure the more we know what it is to walk with him and please him. So I'm going to take us through a passage of scripture. It's Ephesians 5. We're going to start with verse 1. And we're going to go through some verses here. So I want you to pick up a little bit of what I believe is on the heart of the Father. Ephesians 5, starting with verse 1. "Therefore be imitators of God as dear children." That's where the little story of the kid under the trike comes from. He was imitating his father. That word there for imitate actually is where we get the word mimic. We are meant to mimic God. And when you understand you're his kid, then it does not seem crazy or beyond what we are meant to be doing to mimic God. "And walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma." Our job description is simply to walk in love. I said last time that so often we define what we are going to do for God, that we are called to do this. No, we are called to be. And out of that, just simply being God's kid and loving like God loves, we will change the world. If you're always looking for that one thing that you are meant to do, you're in danger of living frustrated. Be God's kid. Start imitating him. Verse 3, "But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you, as is fitting for saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks." How we speak is important. One of the things we know about God is that he uses his words well. He created the worlds through his words. And as his kids, one of the things that he says to us is recognize the power of your words. And here it is saying not just the power of what you say, but the power of what you don't say. I remember when I was at boarding school, I was about 15 years old. I was a Christian. In fact, at that stage, I was the only Christian out of 120 girls. We were living in dorms, very close proximity to one another. It was a pretty rough environment. Not very easy. I didn't know much about God. I just simply loved him and read my old King James Bible and tried to make sense out of it. But I remember vividly to this day standing in the dorm, and I used an expression that contained a swear word. And one of the girls in the dorm turned on me. Now, she was the roughest girl in that dorm. And she looked straight at me and she says, "Don't you talk like that. That's not who you are." And walked out. I've never forgotten her words. I didn't even know about witnessing. I wasn't trying to get any of them saved, but they knew who I was better than I knew who I was myself. And many times I've used those words on myself when I've been thinking things, when I've been going places in my mind, or when I've been wanting to do something. On the inside, I've heard, "That's not who you are." We need to know who we are. And folks, sometimes what we don't say speaks louder than what we do say. We can feel like we need to fit in, that we need to speak like they speak, that we need to tell the stories, that we need to use the swear words, that we need to join in the conversations that they have. I believe that there's a world out there that's saying, "Do you know who you are? Will you carry something that I can look to and say, I want what you've got?" Or are we so well blended, they don't know who we are either? The folks at work don't want you to fit in, because they want to know that what you've got is real. Anybody can tell a dirty story. Anybody can use a swear word. But can you carry yourself in your work environment in a way where people are saying, "Who is it that you know? Because I want a daddy like you've got." Papa wants his presence to be able to rest on us in a way that will change everything around us. It starts with us knowing that we're accepted, that we're God's kid, that we can't lose that acceptance. But I believe it's magnified as we start to live in a way that's well-pleasing. Let's carry on. Verse 5. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. There's been many Christians who've tripped up over these verses. Why? Because they're struggling with sin. They're sleeping around, involved in pornography, whatever. And they've read that and they've believed the lie that they're disqualified. And they've walked away from God. Verse 1 calls us dear children. Verse 3 calls us saints. That's who we are. We're set apart for God. We're God's kids. Verse 5 and verse 6 is not talking about God's kids. It's talking, as it finishes there in verse 6, sons of disobedience. That word disobedience is a pythia. Vine's Expository Dictionary tells us it's the condition of being unpersuadable. Gives you the negative. Pythai means to persuade. Or Strong's says it's disbelief, obstinate and rebellious. What's God saying? Verse 6 is about those who don't believe. See, when you do believe, you are defined as a child, as a son, as a saint. When you don't believe, sometimes you're defined by what you do. My encouragement to anybody who is caught in any aspect of sin is, number one, don't let that sin define who you are. You are a child of God. But number two, don't think it doesn't matter. See, the sad truth is, in verse 6, that we have people who will deceive with empty words and say that because of grace, it doesn't matter how we live. God just loves us. He loves all of us. In fact, there's no hell, there's no punishment, there's no judgment. It says, don't be deceived by that. If there was no judgment, Jesus would not have died. God is just. Our hearts long for justice. You think of somebody that has hurt you. You forgive them because you know that Papa wants you to forgive them. But you also want justice. God would not be perfect unless there was justice. So if those verses put a little bit of fear in you, that's fine. Proverbs says the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Just the beginning. The beginning of wisdom is get saved. Become God's kid. And if you are caught in an aspect of sin, let God help you get out. Start with the knowledge you are God's kid. We can't get ourselves out. We can't clean up our own mess. How many of us have tried? Not very successful, are we? Only God can clean us up. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. It's verse 7. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. Once we get saved, it's a discovery. We start to find out what pleases God. You talk to somebody who's not been saved very long. Their language is colourful. They'll tell you about things that they're up to, and you're thinking, dear God, don't they know they shouldn't be doing that? No, they don't know, because they haven't found out yet what's pleasing to the Lord. They just know they're God's kid. That's all they need to know. As they grow and mature, they will start to find out what's pleasing to God. And I believe Papa is calling us to maturity. He delights in us. And you look at a newborn baby and you look at that child and you marvel. But chances are it's going to throw up on you or mess on you or make you walk hours and hours when you would rather be resting. It's going to demand that everything be about it. God loves us. From the moment that way, even before we're born again, God loves us. But we're accepted into his family as a child. From the moment we said yes to Jesus, we're gloriously born again. But I believe Papa is saying, how come all my family are still in the nursery? Where are the mature sons and daughters that look like me? It is a process, folks. But I believe Papa wants us to know what it is to be well-pleasing to him. Because there's such a joy in that. And I'm going to finish this morning, not by getting you to answer some questions, but to simply hold up a mirror before you. Mark 1:11. Then a voice came from heaven, you are my beloved son or daughter, in whom I am well pleased. I want to finish off this morning by simply having you look in the mirror of God's word and to meditate on this verse. You may want to take out pad and pen and just say, Papa, what does that mean? What does it mean to be your beloved child, and start writing, start journaling. If you don't hear God's voice easily, start doing that and you'll be amazed at what starts to flow. Some of you need to just sit there and think, Papa, all my life I've been looking in a broken mirror. Help me see who I am. We'll close in a couple of minutes and then I would love to pray for people, especially if you've grown up looking in broken mirrors. I know God wants to touch some people with that this morning. But let's spend a couple of minutes just looking at the word, saying, Papa, show me who I am. our time is gone, so I'm going to finish here. But I'm going to ask that if you want to talk, that you do so out in the cafe. If you want to just sit and just soak or just journal, just stay in your seat, that would be fine. If you want prayer, if you come on forward, I'd love to pray for you.